Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King. I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. We're going to be talking about women in ministry. And as a guest, I have Angela Grinnick from Set Free Ministries International. Angela, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much. I'm really blessed to be here.
And I'm excited about this topic.
I am too.
I was reading in my Bible out of Psalm 68, verse 11, and in the New American Standard, I love the way it's worded. It says, "The Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host." And great can mean many, but great can mean wonderful too.
Isn't that beautiful?
Just like our God, right?
Yes, He is. He is.
And, you know, we've heard your testimony on another episode and how that you didn't have a good start. You know, you had it hard. You came out of a lot of darkness and were mistreated as a child and then grew into your own darkness and made your own choices.
Yes.
But then Jesus came into your life and He touched you with His love and with His power, and everything changed for you.
It did.
And this boldness rose up on the inside of you, and you just wanted to tell everybody how good He was.
Yeah.
And so what I want to know from you today is how did it look like for you? I mean, the word ministry means to serve.
Yes.
But sometimes we get this, you know, connotation. It's like, well, ministry is like some big important person who stands in front of the public all the time. Yeah. But I want you to share your heart about women in ministry.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that women, you rock. And you're amazing. And it's so important because, you know what? The Father created man, but He also created woman. And whoa, thank God that He did. And one of my favorite stories out of the Bible is Esther, because she had to make a choice. And I feel like today, for women in ministry, we have to make a choice. Esther literally, because of her obedience unto the Lord, even though she was afraid, you know, she still stood and did exactly the word that God had commanded her to do. And because she did, she literally saved her nation. She saved the Jewish race.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, that is so huge, you know, because of the destiny that God had placed on her. But as women today, like Patricia, I just want to say this, but, you know, you are such an amazing woman of God, and you're my hero. Because you are all the time out there, and you are releasing the wind and the fire and the rain for change, and so that women also can be free. So you've been a forerunner for many years, and it makes it easier for other women to be able to come in and to be able to do what you do, to do what we do, because you paid the price just like Esther did. So I want to give you honor first for that, and thank you, because it's very important. And I think that women should be beautiful and be who God's called and created them to be. But again, when I first started out, and to be honest with you, there are still times that it can become very, very hard. But the walls that used to keep me in have no hold on me anymore.
What did those walls look like, Angela?
Well,
because like you're a preacher, a prophetess, an evangelist, apostolic woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you are very gifted in many different ways, and you've been faithful.
Yeah, that's the key.
So what was difficult?
I think a few things. One of them was believing in myself to embrace the call, because I just couldn't believe He wanted to use me. But once I was able to, then everything shifted. And it was just that I had to keep going. But at times, one of the fruits off of a spirit of fear is that you have a fear of a man or a woman's opinion of you. And they would say, she's a loose cannon. She doesn't love her husband. She. And it was overwhelming. Or I would walk in a room and start to minister, and hundreds of people would start falling out or start weeping, or the gold would fall. And this is 15, 18 years ago, you know, and what's happening today happened then. But, you know, and it's going to happen in 10 or 20 years from now. But God was using the women in such a powerful way, and He still is using us today.
Did you feel accepted as a woman in ministry?
And if you ask me, do I still today, I would tell you no. Because I didn't then. I accept myself And I know that God believes in me, and that there are more women that are really starting to step up and step into the destiny that God's ordained for them. Wow. And we can be daughters. We can be amazing. I'm so in love with my husband, and I take care of our home, and I cook. I pack his lunches. I iron. I do my yard. We have a church ministry. We have like 3 outreaches. We have thousands of ministries internationally. And wow. I go nonstop. And I'm telling you, you can do it. You
absolutely.
Can balance it.
That's what the virtuous woman is all about. Yeah. I love Proverbs 31 because it's this amazing woman who walks with her God and just orchestrates so much. But I love being a woman. I'm glad I'm a woman and not
Me
a man.
Too.
You know, and I think that that's something is that we have to accept our womanness. And I've met a number of women who have tremendous calls on their life but don't know that they're free to step in, and they'll say things like, if I were a man, I would be able to do this, or if I were a man, I would be able to do that. And that always confused me, because I didn't grow up with that kind of prejudice. I grew up with a father who really loved and respected women, and he had a lot of honor for women. Yeah. And we were trained as children that you can choose whatever you want to be. I mean, my father wasn't a Christian, but he had this vision for the value of every human being. And he said, if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. If you want to be a politician, you can be a politician. You know, if you want to be a banker, you can be a banker. Yeah. If you want to be a housewife, be a housewife. Mm-hmm. Whatever is in your heart, then you be. And he never differentiated between men or women. So I never grew up with that kind of prejudice.
Wow.
In fact, I never even knew there was such a thing. I didn't until I came into the church.
Exactly.
And I've actually had a wonderful time being a woman in ministry, and I haven't had to deal with a lot of opposition or anything. And as an itinerant ministry, obviously, no one's going to invite me in as a woman if they don't believe in women in ministry.
Exactly.
So I kind of travel in circles that are quite fine with that, right?
Yeah.
But I have talked to so many women who have been beaten up, and similar to what you just said, saying, you know, you're too loud, you're too this, you must be a Jezebel because you're like a leader, and, you know, and they've been told such horrible things that they shrink back. And sometimes even in the church rule book, it's like they're not allowed to do certain things. They can teach Sunday school, but they can't teach adults. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, maybe plant a nursery, but they can't plant a church, you know?
Exactly.
So that's confusing.
It is.
But God, in Jesus, there is no male or female.
Yeah. That's the best part.
Yeah. And so we can relax and just be who we are.
I love what you're saying. The word Deborah means to be. That's what her name means, to be. And you said your dad told you just to be. And I love everything about Christianity and the Jewish side of Christianity, because on Fridays, when it's time for the family to come together, the husband will put the tallit over his wife, and he will read out of Proverbs 31:10 through, and he will bless her. See, and then she wraps it around him, and she reads Psalm 1, because he is the tree deeply rooted in God, and nothing ever withers. And when there is respect, like you said, I travel in places that you're able to be with.
Right.
You know, but I travel in a lot of nations. Like, I go to Pakistan.
Sure.
And I'm mom of Pakistan.
Right.
I work. My spiritual son is the bishop to the bishop now of Pakistan. I work with the Catholic Church. I work with the Muslim government.
Beautiful.
And I'm this little white woman who is, and I tell people, honey, what you see is what you get. And I'm the same here as if I'm in Pakistan preaching. You know?
And I think that's the key, that word to be, or to be real.
Yes.
You know, and and just to live your life out as you are. Like, I never even knew I was in what the public would call ministry. Like, I had no idea. I was just serving. I was just so excited about Jesus.
Exactly.
That everything that he gave me, I just shared it, because I'm a giver by heart.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I would just give out what he gave me. And so people were receiving all this revelation that I was receiving from the Lord. But I didn't even know it was revelation. I just thought it was something good that I got to share around.
Exactly.
Right? So then God opened up doors for me. And I just thought, oh, good, I can share some more or serve some more. And I just saw it all as servanthood. I never thought it as like what people would look at as some public position.
Exactly.
And then one day this woman came up to me, and I was ministering the word of God in a meeting about 400 people. And still, it was just because I went from my kitchen to whatever to whatever, and it was all the same to me. It was just you are who you are, and you just break open what you have.
Yeah.
And this woman came up to me and said, "How did you ever get into this ministry?" And I thought, "Ministry? What ministry?" You know. And that's when I realized what they how they would see it.
Yeah.
But my encouragement to women would be, you just go be.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm glad that you are free to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, though? I know it's, again, because I had to embrace who I was. Not from my past, because those walls, the chains are gone, and today who I am. And my heart is to see men and women meet their potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I always share this with people. I said, I would rather shoot an arrow and miss the target than to have not shot at all. We're in a society where they tell you not to. They go, oh, don't even go and try it.
I know.
And that's why I've been on, I wanted to say this, but in September I start my 18th year on the streets as a homeless minister. And I love what I do. We have a children's outreach that we do all year around, like from Christmas to backpacks to summer, I mean, all through the year, and we feed. And you know what I tell these children that are bruised and broken when we first started 6 years ago? Little girls all hair pulled out, bruised, beat up, and they don't think they're going to be anything. I said, honey, if you want to be president, you can.
Yeah,
you can do anything that
come
you want
on.
To do. And they go, no, I can't, Pastor Angela. I'm like, yes, you can. And can I tell you my most greatest times? I was just on the streets on Sunday, because we have church on Friday nights because we hit the evangelism side. And one of my greatest things is that I'm able to go out and feed and serve. And a lot of times people come up to me and they'll go, well, I see you're in charge today, aren't you? And I know it's the demon looking right at my angel. And I go, yes, yes, we are. I said, God has called me to come out and just be a mama and to serve.
Yeah.
And I think if we would just look, like you said, I just do it. That's what I've always done. I don't even know what
That's
I have.
Exactly.
And I think it's better that way for me.
I know. And if you just go out and love and spread the joy,
that's
around,
all I still,
a lot of times people will say, just tell me how I can get into ministry.
I know.
And I think, well, just live.
Yeah.
Just live and share the love. And, you know, I think we do harm when we're looking for a position to be acknowledged by a person and say, well, I got into a pulpit and now I can preach or I can do this. But I think it's what is your passion? And then just go share that with whoever is hungry.
Yeah.
And we don't have to feed those who aren't hungry. Mm-hmm. Just go feed the hungry.
Anywhere.
You know, and, you know, if they're hungry for the word, then give them the word. And that can be in the grocery store.
Yes,
it could be at the gas pump.
Always.
It could be
everywhere.
Just
every day,
go out
everywhere.
And get beyond yourself and go serve someone something good, right?
Exactly. I wasn't even saved 2 weeks. I don't even know the word saving. I wasn't even saved 2 weeks. The Lord gave me a word to go down the street and knock on a door. I did this. And I said, I know you don't know me. My name is Angela. And I just heard this voice tell me to come, that innocent. And the lady started weeping. She had nine children, no food in her house. I said, you can come to the church and you can take it all. I got in so much trouble because I gave all the food away. Well, I thought that's what the food was in the church for. And is this really happened? It's true. And I realized right then that I was always going to be in trouble. But I thought, I worked in darkness. And I was Satan's cabana girl, let me tell you. More than you'll ever know, more than people would ever know. But when I became God's little girl, that light shot through me, and I'm like, Lord, I'm going to serve you. If it's knocking on a door, if it's praying for someone to be healed, if it's jumping out to give somebody a track. You know, we shared on the other episode where a lady got saved. 2 days after I gave her that baby doll, she cried. No one ever told her that she was loved. She had no dad, no mom, thrown away in an orphan. She gave her heart to the Lord. She was raped, robbed, beaten in a homeless camp. And when they told me about Mary, and I just knew in my spirit something had happened, I ran out to the streets the next day, and they said, Mary's not here. I said, I know. I saw her dancing with Jesus in heaven. And could you imagine if we didn't go and do the little things? Could you imagine? But it's in the grocery store. It's knocking on the door. Every day people say, you know, all these things to me. They go, Angela, how do you do this? I always go, I just pray. I listen. I read my word. I'm in love with Jesus. I love my husband. And I really, really love people.
Oh, you do.
I
you
really
can tell.
Do.
And it shows by your action. It says faith without works is dead.
Dead.
You say it, but you do it too. Yeah. We're going to take a break and we'll come back in just a moment. But I want you to, as we're breaking, I want you to sit back and I want you to just enjoy being special, being exactly who you are. Why? because you were created in His image and His likeness so that you could be a blessing and be blessed and just be. So why don't you do that right now? We'll be right back. You've got to join us. You must join us for Let There Be Light in Phoenix this August 19 to 22. Oh, I tell you, we're going to have an amazing time. David Hogan, who is one of the most radical men of God I've ever met, he's going to be with us. And so is Joshua Mills and Georgian Banoff and myself and the XP team. And we're going to have a blast. It's going to be amazing. We're going to bring light into the darkness. And we want you to join us. You can find more about that on extremeprophetic.com. Welcome back, and I hope that you had a good time just meditating on the freedom that you have in Christ to be. But now in this section, we're going to stir you up big time, because at the end of this section, we're going to pray for you to get empowered to be the woman of God that you are called to be. And if you're a man, you're allowed to receive this too, because there's no male nor female in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, Angela, you know, like, in history, in church history, there's been some outstanding women. I mean, you can start in the Bible, like we mentioned Deborah and Esther, and, you know, of course, there's the Marys and, you know, a whole pile of them in the New Testament and that. But also throughout church history, there's been the, like, the Joan of Arcs, there's been the Maria Woodworth Edders, the Amy Semple McPherson's, the Catherine Booth, the Catherine, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, and the Lord visited me a couple of years back and said that that company of women that I just mentioned have mantles that are going to be released in this hour. And that in this generation, we're going to see the emergence of some very powerful women of God.
Yes.
And they're going to move in miracles, signs, wonders, heaven to earth type things. And I feel such a commitment, actually, to to just prophesy the existence of that of that army, like that they would emerge and rise up and take their place.
Absolutely.
And do you prophetically connect with that?
Well, you know why? I love that you said that. I thank you for your boldness, first of all, for even saying that, because that's what we need to start releasing, because there are mantles being waiting. And really, before I came here, I, like I said, I was in Vegas, and I saw so many women, you know, prostituting and just doing the things and still so bound, and thought, Lord, if they had had their destiny fulfilled within them, God, what they could do. And I really went and bought a bag, and it said Hoover Dam, and the Lord really spoke to me and said, daughter, I told you that this is the year that the women, he says, we're in our 11th hour, and the number 11 means judgment, but in the Hebrew, it means deliverance. And God is releasing the wind for the women to start to break forth, like that dam breaking forth. And there are so many young women out there, and young men as well, that are so hungry right now for God. That's a reformation.
Absolutely.
And that stirring and the wind. And I think that they don't think that it's okay that they can maybe pray and say, you know, what about Elijah and Elisha, you know? What about when two come together, that iron sharpens iron, and that I rub off on you and you rub off on me?
And we so need each other. In the Gospels, it talks about two women that gave birth to big destinies. And one of them was Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. So she birthed a forerunner. But Elizabeth represents the older generation. And then we have young Mary, who carried Jesus. And so she represents the younger generation. Both generations carried anointings. both generations carried something that changed the course of history.
Exactly.
And I believe that we've come to that hour right now.
That we're in that hour.
We are.
Right
and
now.
And we're going to see, I tell you, I'm so excited. In fact, I don't know if you've ever met my friend, Fatine Crisco. But she's a young gal from Canada, and she has such a passion to see the Lord ignite the nation of Canada on fire. And she was a university student and went through all the training in university and that, but fell in love with Jesus and got all healed up. And now she's just taking the world by storm. She's leading her generation into the government even and loving on government leaders and prophesying and they're influencing government to change laws and everything, as well as being on the streets and in the schools and in the church. I mean, everywhere. She's just going for it. And I see many young women like that and young men, definitely a lot of young men. But then there's our generation where we've got it in us to birth things too.
Absolutely.
Like, look at Sarah and Abraham.
I know. That's one of my most favorite stories because I still believe today that women feel like they're bound and that they can't give birth. You know, and they go, oh, no, it's too late. Really, Gideon's one of my most favorite stories because male or female, at one time we were in the mix, we're in the war, and then God sent him home to go take care of his home. And I think sometimes we think, oh, I've been sent home for a year or two or three now, and I guess I don't have what it takes anymore, and God's raising up another generation anyway. And or, you know what I'm saying?
I know,
and it's
we've
almost
got to
like,
run our race.
But when God released Gideon back, there was 40 years of peace. But you know what? I know that it is true about that. It is true about the Elizabeth. You know, it's true about the Marys, and it's true about the Patricia Kings and the Angela Greenicks. It's true about your friend, the Stacey Campbells out there, the Jill Austins out there, Heidi Baker, you know, Shara, all the family, all the women that we know, you know, because this is our season. Actually, the men cut a CD last year called The Sons of Thunder, and I made a phone call and said, I want to know where the women of thunder are, because I'm going to tell you
or
what.
Women of lightning.
Yeah, well, I told them, I said, I think it should be thunder and lightning, actually. Because I said, I want to...
Thunder and lightning go together.
Well, yeah, because when it hits the ground, it's just going to electrify. And that's that dam that's being held back. That's what it has, the electricity and the wind and the fire. And it's
about
the mantles being released.
I think we're going to see the most awesome emergence of women in this hour.
Absolutely.
And they're feminine. And they're strong. And they're beautiful. And they radiate the glory. And they're not afraid of anything. The virtuous woman, it says she's not afraid of her future. She's not afraid for her household. You know, she just puts her hands to what's there. And she just goes for it in God. And I know that we're going to see this company raised up.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about it. A lot of it is miracles, signs, and wonders also. It's like heaven to earth.
And you know what, though? Honestly, ever since I've been saved, I've had it. I'd only been saved a month and prayed for a lady. She had a tumor under her arm. It's true. It was like the size of a grapefruit. And all I could read was out of Matthew, and it said, just go, lay hands on the sick. I could read that, and they'll be fine. So I laid my hands. This fire shot out of my hands, and this tumor went boof in my hand, literally.
Wow.
And I literally lifted up her other arm to look for the tumor
on.
Because I didn't know I didn't even know any of this, okay?
Whoa.
And immediately, and this is true, and I went Shazam, and I started this fire, and I started seeing heaven open, and I saw women. See, I've seen women all my life and people in heaven since I was a child because I didn't understand this gift.
Wow.
And then as I started, I understood.
Angela, just a minute. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But someone's getting their tumor exploded right now. I can feel it. Come on. Come on. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just command that tumor to explode and to dissipate and to go in Jesus' name. I tell you, I felt that when you were sharing that testimony. I thought it's igniting something.
And you know what it is? There's a lot of tumors and cancers being healed right now because the unclean spirit always leaves death. But God releases the Holy Spirit, which brings and births life. And women are birthers. We birth children. You know, and I loved it because when you said Elizabeth, and I thought, and I thought about her husband who could not speak, you know, until after the child, and he could give him the name to release that birthing.
Right.
You know, and there's something about this hour that we're in right now because more women are recognized, and it's not about us.
No.
Because I'll go home and take care of my husband and my family and my children who are 28 and 24.
Yeah.
And, but I have so many spiritual sons and daughters.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so awesome, and it's such an honor and a privilege.
It's wonderful to see the body come together, and male and female, and old and young, bond and free. Like, yeah. It's just so yeah. beautiful to see everybody flowing together. And that's why it's important that women take their place in this hour, yeah. because, you know, without the women in place, there can be no mm-hmm. fruitfulness, right? There has to be both in their place,
yes.
the male and the female.
Yes.
But, you know, Angela, I'm just feeling like we should just decree the women
Absolutely.
Into their
Let's
place.
Absolutely. Let's
and
do it. Let's do
it. If you're a woman right now,
Jesus.
And you're feeling stirred and saying, I got to get this release, you know, I can feel like I'm born for something, but what is it? We're just going to call that
Jesus.
Into being right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just call forth and ignite the passion inside of your women.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, we stir them up right now, and I loose that destiny call.
Oh, yeah.
I loose that destiny call in Jesus' name, and I call you blessed because you know the Lord. I call you blessed because His presence is on the inside of you.
Yes.
I call you blessed because you're called by His name, and I stir up the fire on the inside of you, and I release impartation. Impartation,
Lord,
impartation,
yes, Lord,
impartation.
Yes, Lord,
and Lord, I'm praying that whatever grace that you have given to us, whatever grace that you've invested in us, that we impart it freely to those who desire more in Jesus' name.
Yes.
So there you go. Just take it and say, I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. We freely received.
Yes.
So we freely give. Now you've got to freely receive so you can freely give. And we'll be one big happy and happy family in Jesus,
you,
bringing masses of people to Him, nations coming to the brightness of His rising. Amen?
Amen. And as you were saying
all
I kept hearing was, Lazarus, come forth! And that the death would arise. And there's people that are coming out of their death clothes right now in the name of Jesus. And that destiny is being released.
Wow.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You've got to join us. You must join us for Let There Be Light in Phoenix this August 19 to 22. Oh, I tell you, we're going to have an amazing time. David Hogan, who is one of the most radical men of God I've ever met, he's going to be with us. And so is Joshua Mills and Georgian Bano and myself and the XP team. And we're going to have a blast. It's going to be amazing. We're going to bring light into the darkness. And we want you to join us. You can find more about that on extremeprophetic.com.